JG3.
Number 10A.
So we can see there for that is the law. That principle is operating out of itself, out of its own origin, the word, out of its own logos of what it is. It's operating through itself. It's through its channel of the Christ and its translation and retranslation. It doesn't need any other channel to operate, no other medium, at no other person. Its outcome is always as itself for just the glory of itself. That's the law. Now, we say to ourselves, how could we perhaps diagram that law in what is, in how it's operating? Well, we say then, what is principle on the level of divine science? On how does principle appear on the level of divine science? As ideas? Do we have on the level of divine science, on the model of being, all the ideas for mind, all the ideas for spirit, all the ideas for soul, all the ideas for principle, life, truth, and love, all squeezed within those little boxes? Idea. Okay, so principle appears, does it appear as a bunch of ideas? No. Principle, as Louisa says, appears as idea. So therefore, what is a phenomenon of principle on that level? What is principle? How did Mrs. Eddy define principle? How did Mrs. Eddy define principle on page 465? On page 465, when she says, what is God? What is principle? She says, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. She defined God, principle, as incorporeal word, the divine Christ, supreme Christianity, and infinite science as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. These things are, as we know, very easy. We know the human mind wants to make it much more complex than just what we know. God is principle. Principle is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, isn't it? So therefore, how does principle appear on the divine science level when we are culturing our consciousness in the eight ordered steps to oneness with being? What phenomena does principle take on divine science? It takes the phenomena as the infinite principle, the infinite one? No, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There we see I am mind, I am spirit, I am soul. I would recommend doing the eight steps this year. Really, taking Max's book and really faithfully going through that booklet from premise to conclusion and doing everything he recommends with step one and then step two and then step three and then step four and then step five and then step six and then step seven and then step eight and seeing the impact of eight down the levels. With that, next year we can really do something with the model of being. But without that consciousness, we just can't get along in thinking in categories, can we? It's just too hard for us. We labor at it, I can see. And we shouldn't be laboring at it if we put ourselves into what we call an advanced class. So if we do that this year, step three takes us back to the compendiums and begin to identify, learn what the ideas are. Step four, how they interrelate. How they built up tone, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love till step six. Life, truth, and love is the I mind. Life, truth, and love is the I spirit. Life, truth, and love is the I soul. Life, truth, and love is the I principle. Life, truth, and love is the I life. Life, truth, and love is the I truth. Life, truth, and love is the I love. And then finally, on step seven, it's just I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love. There are no ideas that we have identified with the ideas, haven't we? And then on step 3 and step 4, those ideas interrelate to give tone, mind. Then we identify with the tone, mind. And once we identify with the tone and whole gestalt of mind, which includes all its ideas, we can then say it's I, mind, I, spirit, I, soul, I, principle, I, life, I, truth, I, love, on the science, on divine science. And then we saw once it was I, mind, I, spirit, I, soul, I, principle, I, life, I, truth, I, love, on divine science. Then we saw on the level of science itself, the law was mind being its own infinite mind. We suddenly saw that the I was out of it, didn't we? So the phenomenon of divine science is not principle itself, but the 7, isn't it? Which includes its ideas. So therefore, the form that that phenomenon takes in the form of a law, we could show then that we say then principle operates principle, and it's not a concession. It's true to this level. If we say principle operates principle out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself, as the word Christ, Christianity in science, as the incorporeal word, the divine Christ, the supreme Christianity in the infinite science, then we can say, therefore, that one infinite mind on the level of science itself, it booms out of the matrix of infinity. It wants to bring forth its ideational universe. The first impulse it does is it brings forth its ideational universe is that mind is operating out of mind. Mind is operating through the channel of mind. The outcome is always as mind and for the glory of mind. That's what the universe consists of. Mind operating always as input, process, output, and feedback. That's all that's going on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. The divine infinite mind is always, and our consciousness can stay on this level. That's what Jesus saw, that the mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind. My origin is divine science. And Mrs. Eddy said Jesus' consciousness was at work in divine science. Therefore, Jesus saw, gee, that infinite mind which is God is my mind, and therefore I turn to it hourly, every second. It's a constant conscious capacity to know God, Mrs. Eddy said. His whole being was that his consciousness was always that mind which is God, which is operating out of itself, out of its own self-existence. That mind which is God was always his origin. That mind which is God was always operating through the channel. He didn't have to go to Peter or to any of his disciples to get inspiration, that the mind which is God was coming right to him as his mind through the mind speaking to mind through its channel. Mind which is God was Jesus's mind. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That mind operated out of its own self-existence. It spoke to Jesus's mind, which is God, was his mind. So mind was speaking to his mind through mind. It was mind speaking to mind through the channel of mind, nothing else. He had direct revelation. The outcome was he perceived the whole universe, including man, as mind, and he perceived it always for the glory of mind. Isn't that what Jesus did? At work in divine science? And that makes this law practical, doesn't it? And now we see how he could heal instantaneously. In such a consciousness, there is no error. This should be our present possibility, our consciousness too, shouldn't it? And therefore, we see that spirit, our nature, it's I, spirit. Therefore, that nature which was God was Jesus's nature. It's our nature. So that infinite spirit, that infinite nature of spirit is always divine science spirit, and its idea is one. Therefore, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if Jesus was at work in the universe of divine science, according to a divine principle, love, according to his inseparable union with the principle, then his nature was always spirit talking to spirit. His nature and spirit was one, where spirit was always operating out of its own self-existent. And it always operating, Spirit was operating through its own channel. Therefore, Spirit and Jesus' nature was one. His Spirit and Spirit were one, called Jesus' nature. And so the outcome was always Jesus was as Spirit, Spirit speaking to Spirit, Spirit being Spirit, for the glory of Spirit's being Spirit. Don't call me good, call Spirit good, because I'm just Spirit being Spirit. And then his identity, he saw, oh, well, my identity is soul itself, that infinite soul, and therefore I am soul being soul. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Therefore, there's no the spiritual agreement between soul and me. There's no duality. Duality has been resolved on divine science. Everything was excluded except that he knew that soul was operating out of its own self-existence. And therefore that soul was his soul. It came to him out of its own self-existence. So his soul and God's soul is one, because soul operates through the medium of soul itself. So soul operated through soul and made the outcome soul and Jesus' soul one for the glory of soul. And therefore, that principle that he taught was coming out of the level of science itself. And therefore, if you've seen me, you've seen principle in operation. That principle comes and it declares what it is out of itself, through the channel of itself. The outcome is that principle and principle called Jesus is one, for the glory of principle being its own infinite principle. This is his consciousness. Or life, which is Jesus' life, came out of the infinite level of science itself to make Jesus' life and life one. So life operated out of its own self-existence through its own channel. The outcome was that the life, which is God, was the capital life called Jesus for the glory of life. And therefore, the truth consciousness that Jesus had was that infinite truth operating out of its own self-existence through its own channel, made the truth consciousness and Jesus' truth consciousness one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And love, that whole plan of Jesus' life, came out of the infinite matrix of infinity on the level of science itself. And love operating out of its own self-existence through its own channel. The outcome was love being its own love called Jesus. Therefore, love and love called Jesus is one. And that's what he was. Jesus was, he was mine, being mine, Spirit being Spirit, soul being soul, principle being principle, life being life, truth being truth, love being love for the glory of God. And that's all he saw and knew. That's what he was. It was holistic. It's an attitude. It's a consciousness there. So that's the law. So we can see then that it's really big in life experience, isn't it? It's his origin. It's his consciousness. It's our origin. It's our consciousness. And so we can see then that that's the law. We needn't have to go beyond that. That's it. But we know we can go down to the level of absolute Christian science if we want to, though there's no reason why we should if we are faithful to the study of the ordered approach to the one being and to those laws and culture, those steps. We can then stay in the gestalt of mind, in the gestalt of spirit, in the gestalt of soul, in the gestalt of principle, life, truth, and love, and not need the ideas for the law. But if we want to bring in ideas, we can. So, therefore, in sticking with the law, We would want ideas, therefore, to use, to exercise what? As the ideas we used on the level of science itself? Or on the ideas that we'd use on absolute Christian science? Or Christian science? Not so much. We want the tonality of divine science, don't we? So we choose those ideas according to the tone of an operational sense of oneness, a realm tone. We choose what the principle and its idea is within its own realm. And that realm is a universal a oneness which excludes all error. So we... So if we went to the ideas of mind and we saw how they structured themselves dimensionally according to the levels, then we would try to do this without looking up the answer on page 71. But we know, therefore, that on page 71, we would see there the ideas that Max has shown. And again, we wouldn't want to put this in concrete. That can still change if our tonality gets a little sharper or clearer, or it can stay, just how things could be. And therefore, we say, well, what is mind in its own realm? Is it the capital all? No, we saw mind as a capital all was where, surely, did we see it? All right, and we heard the tonality, didn't we? Because the capital all is the indivisible whole, isn't it? Uh-huh. And therefore, we saw on divine science, how did that all appear? All in all. And then we saw that the hyphens indicated oneness, didn't we? And then we saw that if our study aid have a capital all here, like the one did when I copied this one off of the first ones, we would change the capital all in lowercase all, wouldn't we? If we have a typographical error in our study aid. So we can see, therefore, that capital all, hyphen in all. And so it's an operational sense of oneness. It's a realm of ideas, a realm of information, a realm of all perceiving, apprehending, all hearing, all action, all steering, all law. So in this realm, we just want to keep those ideas that seem to be system intrinsics that really have there not any big feeling of any sense of error, sin, sickness, disease, or death, because we can see, therefore, that these ideas are sin, sickness, and disease, and death are excluded from a consciousness that is in the allness of God in its ideas. Against such a consciousness, there is no law. So we needn't stay just with the ones that Max had there. As long as the ideas we know are free from any material connotations such as duality of evil, of matter, we know all the death limitation, because that is excluded from the system. So if we have, we could use with mind, for example, mind knows, or mind acts, how would we use that in the law? If we used the law, then, in our exercise, and we're making, and the ideas in our concession to absolute Christian science, how would we exercise in this law with, if we said that we wanted to use the ideas? If mind is operating out of its own self-existence, out of mind itself, and if mind needs no other channel but to operate through mind itself, and the outcome is always as mind itself, for the glory of mind itself, that's all I'm happy with. But how would we maybe do this exercise using knows, would we say? Oh, all right, good. Okay, that's good. That mind knows itself out of itself, doesn't it? Mind knows itself out of its own mind. It doesn't know itself out of Sally Jones' mind in Toronto, does it? It knows itself through mind itself, through the channel of mind itself. Again, it doesn't need a medium to know itself. It doesn't need people to know itself. It knows itself through the channel of mind itself. Doesn't it, Ellen? And therefore, it knows itself. What would we say next, Ellen, as we go through the flow? As itself, then it knows itself as itself, doesn't it? It doesn't know itself as anything but mind. And therefore, why is it knowing itself only as mind for the glory of itself, mind itself? So therefore, if one can see the value, if eventually the claim is ignorance, we can see, well, if out of the level of science itself, that all mind, which is being its own infinite mind, that mind is being its own infinite intelligence of mind, there is no ignorance called mortal mind, because mind is being its own infinite mind. This is the first impulse coming out of the gate, so to speak, to handle the belief of ignorance, isn't it? So therefore, mind, we say, gee, just think that the mind which is God is our mind. If we think we're ignorant, or if we're realizing it for a family member, we can say, well, there's no ignorance to reality. That mind is knowing itself out of mind's own intelligence of mind, we could say, because we can use the higher always includes the lower. And mind is operating through the intelligence of mind. Therefore, mind is knowing itself out of its own intelligence of mind. Mind is knowing itself only through the channel of the own intelligence of mind. Mind, the outcome is mind as the intelligence of mind, which is only for the glory of knowing itself as the intelligence of mind. Don't we feel the promise that somehow that's going to come right on down and heal the claim that there is ignorance? Or we could say that the claim on the human level is one of chaos. Therefore, using spirit, we could, what handles the belief of chaos? Order. So therefore, surely we could do the exercise. How surely would we see if there's chaos in our lives? How would we, what would be the first impulse to be able to see, gee, maybe there is order out of the seeming chaos? What gives us hope? What gives us belief? Faith, finally, spiritual understanding that order is going to come to the situation. Just following the law. Very good. Excellent. Go ahead. The outcome is always ordering itself as the order of spirit, isn't it? The order of spirit, isn't it? Yeah. So we can see if there's chaos happening in our life, we go and consciousness flows along this line and says, gee, look at the promise that infinite spirit being its own infinite spirit comes as a control hierarchy to this situation. Divine love is going to meet every human need, and I know love is going to meet every human need. If there's a chaos going on in my life, then spirit is going to order, bring order, and it's going to bring order out of the own self-existence of the order of spirit itself. And spirit is going to bring order to the situation through the channel of the order of spirit itself, through no other channel. Spirit is going to, we're going to see that the outcome of spirit bringing order out of itself, out of the order of spirit, and through the order of spirit, the outcome is always going to be as the order of spirit. The outcome in the situation that I'm concerned about is always going to be the order of spirit, never the order of physicality or the order of mentality, which is always going to be brought out through the Christ in the translation and retranslation as the order of spirit, for the glory of the order of spirit. Or we could say that spirit is operating out of, well, if we feel that the law is operating for just plain goodness, spirit is operating out of the goodness of spirit, isn't it? Out of its own, spirit is operating out of the goodness of the good of spirit. Spirit is operating through the goodness of the channel of spirit. Spirit, the outcome is that the spirit's ordering out of the goodness of the good of spirit through the goodness of the channel of the good of spirit. Therefore, the outcome is always going to be the good of spirit, isn't it, in the situation? And for the glory of the good of spirit. And so that already we live by an understanding of that promise. The law already is very important to us. Or again, we could say that a situation doesn't have any identity. It seems to be formless. We can't see. The situation waffles from here to there. It keeps going back and forth and back and forth, and we can't figure out, shall I do this? Shall I do that? We always know the claim in the world of some say, well, I think I'll do this. And then the next day they say, no, I think I should do that. No, I don't know. Shall I do this? Then they go to the friend. And they say to the friend, shall I do this or shall I do that? And the poor friend has been asked that so many times that friend says, don't ask me that again. I can't help you in your life. You figure it out. I don't know what you should do. You go back to principle. And so the friend leaves. And it leaves us there, and it says, all right, you handle it. And the friend's all the friend can do is, well, I've got to go back to the system. And I have to see that soul is being its own infinite soul. Therefore, soul is bringing the identity to my life, and it's going to definitely be clear. The dry land's going to be clear. Shall I do this or to do that? Because soul is always identifying itself out of the identity of soul. It's always identifying itself through the identity of soul. The outcome is always as the identity of soul for the glory of the identity of soul. And that poor thing can already feel that identity of soul is operating for it, huh? So it already takes on a stature from victim into feeling. It's the definite idea. Identity is going to come to its specific situation, doesn't it? It is. It's powerful, and it heals. That's why every level has its healing. Right now, we're healed. We hadn't go any farther. We know it's going to happen. The other levels just give more explanation of the healing, but we see why Jesus could heal. Any sense of ignorance, any sense of chaos, or any sense of lack of identity to a situation from the law of divine science.